Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. This evening, my devotion is entitled, Behold What Manner of Love, as Pastor has shared, is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So I shall read this verse to all of us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Amen. So this short verse that we have read from this first epistle from the Apostle John really magnifies the love of God to his adopted children who have both professed and possessed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is really important for us to note here is how the Apostle broke forth into an exclamation of excitement, admiration, and wonder, calling us to behold, or calling us to come and see this manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us. So as Pastor shared the verses earlier that he quoted, this love that the Father showed unto us is so great because we were once his enemies and now we are effectively called and adopted to be sons and daughters of God. We who were once children of corruption, disobedience, ingratitude, and by nature as of sin and guilt and the curse of God, should be called the sons and daughters of God and heirs according to the promise. So such a condescending love that our God has given to us, that we are now separated from the rest of the world. And the second part of this verse really says that, you know, the rest of this world wouldn't know us because they did not know Christ and his love. So we, as his adopted children, we'll know of this wonderful love, joy, and peace within our hearts. And as Pastor shared earlier, you know, regardless of what circumstances of life may throw at us. So tonight's sharing, I shall be focusing on this topic of the manner of love that God has bestowed on us. And I'd like to take us through the different facets of God's love for us. So firstly, I would like to sing and submit to you that God's love is a welcoming love. So here we see a very, very common and very familiar quote from our Lord Jesus Christ and a call to come. Okay? So the Lord Jesus asks us to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So firstly, God's love is a welcoming love in that the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to go to him and he will give us rest for our souls. So such a gracious invitation, what shall our response be? Shouldn't we just go to him? Many, however, may hesitate and some may even ask, you know, how may we know that we will be received by him? So here in the Gospel of John, there are several verses that talks about this. Yeah, how we who name the name of Christ, we who believe on the name of Christ, can become the sons of God. So it is very sure that we can and we will be received. And all who would go unto him will never be cast out. So shall we not answer this call and go unto him? Secondly, God's love is an overcoming love. And I would like to read these two verses from Romans 5 for us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So God's love is overcoming in that he overcame that great gulf of separation between God and man after the fall of man. And he developed a great love to reconcile us to himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. And having reconciled us to himself, you know, unfortunately, you know, life is not all perfect thereafter. And we know this, especially in the last 3 years, where we were facing the pandemic and some of the most unexpected circumstances. How we were separated from family members, how we were separated at work, how we were not even able to gather together in church to worship together, let alone fellowship with one another. Nevertheless, we were able to overcome all of these and have true peace, which the world know not of. And our Lord has encouraged us, asked us to be of good cheer, that whilst in this world we may have tribulation, yet we might have peace. And this is the peace that the world knoweth not. And we can have this confidence to live each day of our lives because our Lord has said that he has overcome the world. The third facet is that the God's love is non-condemning. And there are two verses I'd like to read for us here. Firstly, from Romans 8, 1. Okay, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So here, we see that God no longer condemns us who are his children because we are in Jesus and are justified by him. Therefore, we need not fear that one day we will be judged like the unbelievers, like those that who refuse to obey the call of God to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So earlier on, we mentioned that we were once God's enemies, but now we are his children who are justified by faith in Christ and reconciled to him. However, you and I would be quick to acknowledge that we are far from perfect in this life. We continue to live and sin every day, every moment of our lives, even though we are his redeemed. But because of such a non-condemning love, liberating love, we can come before the Lord to seek his forgiveness. And this is the promise that he has given to us in 1 John 1, 8 and 9. And something that can guide us as we go through life's journey, that though we continue to sin, we can choose not to sin continually and dwell in the same sins. So here, there is a promise of forgiveness as we confess our sins before him. So shall we not come before him to plead for his forgiveness and also claim his cleansing? So this is how we might live as God's redeemed. Fourthly, God's love is a delighting love. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God has this very special love for his own children. And this is really similar to the earthly father delighting in their children, delighting to give gifts to the children. Isn't this very wonderful that if God the Father did not spare Jesus, his only begotten son, to save us, will he not also freely give us all things? Does all other things pale in comparison with Christ himself? All other things would cost far less than what he has given for us. Of course, this doesn't mean that God will give us anything that we want, but he will give us whatever that we need, that his will may be fulfilled in and through us. So, if God delighting in us, shouldn't we bask in his complacent love, his love that takes delight and pleasure in his own? And other parts of scripture echoes this, how we may ask of the Lord for anything in his name and how the Father will give it to us. And sometimes we do ask in prayer, yet doubting. And there's one story that very, very endearing to me. I remember this particular story, but I can't remember the source. There was once a farmer who spoke to the son as they were facing drought, in drought season. So the fields were parched and the crops were not growing as they ought. So the father told the son, "Come, son, let us pray that God may send rain." And after that, the father went into the house, and what surprised the father was that the little son brought an umbrella out. And the father was very perplexed, in a bright sunny day, what are you doing with the umbrella? And the son said, "Well, father, we just prayed that God will send rain, and I'm preparing for rain." So how many of us have the childlike faith like this little boy, that when we ask the Lord, that we can also trust that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How many of us really ask as a matter of rote, a matter of habit, a matter of form, and yet forgetting that we serve a great God who is also our loving Heavenly Father? So the question for us tonight is, do we go to him in prayer and ask, trusting that he will give us in accordance to his will and even more than what we ask for? Next, his love is an exclusive love. It's something that is not open to anybody and everybody. And this is really exclusive to those whom he has chosen. And another very familiar passage that I'll just read for us from Ephesians 1, 4 to 6. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So this love is exclusive to those whom the Lord himself has chosen, has predestinated and adopted according to the good pleasure of his will. So this is something that is very special. So we who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, we who believe are now able to call him endearingly Abba, Father. And this exclusive love is unwavering. And we see this in many parts of scripture. Since the Old Testament, when the Lord first chose the nation of Israel as his chosen people, he chose Israel not because they were many in number, not because they were mighty, not because they were good. In fact, Israel, over the course of history, as we know it, has disobeyed the Lord time and time again. Isn't it the same with us? And here the Lord said in Jeremiah 31:3, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." No, how could we ever compare with our Heavenly Father who has such a great love that is so patient toward us, even though we continue to be disobedient to him? So let us be confident of his exclusive love for us, and let us not doubt, for his love is unwavering. Sixthly, his love is a restful love. And we've read this verse earlier. And the Lord's promise to all of us is that he will give us rest. You know, in this world, many of us, yeah, even Christians, continue in this incessant quest for things that we hope will make our lives easier, make our lives more restful. But the great paradox is this, isn't it? That the very things that we hope will bring us more convenience, will make our lives easier, actually makes our lives more hectic and unrestful. Similarly, we continue to look out for things that are exciting. Yeah, and this also applies to things that we look out for in the church. We look for more exciting ways of teaching, of preaching, of more exciting methods of bringing the gospel to the unsaved. But yet, scripture tells us it is only when we seek for the old paths, the paths that are long trodden by saints of old who have trodden before us, that we can truly find that rest for our souls, that we can truly be effective vessels for the Lord's use. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us that if the Lord has already given us that final rest, then there wouldn't be another day. So the Lord beckons us to enter into the final eternal rest. And today, do we have a glimpse of that? I think we do. We already have a foreshadow of the eternal rest, and this is our Christian Sabbath. Assemble ourselves together, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, in worship, as well as in our fellowship meetings, as we build up the Church of Christ together. So if the final rest has not yet come, shouldn't we continue to press on and persevere to make our calling and election sure until we enter into that final rest? Lastly, and most importantly, we must remember that the Lord's love is sacrificial. Well, this is also a very familiar verse for all of us, John 3:16 and 17, you know, how the how God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So although our salvation is free, in that we cannot do anything to earn it, yet it is paid with an infinitely great price. Great price to our Heavenly Father, because it is paid with his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus. We know that the name Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. So imagine our Lord Jesus, who was co-eternal with the Father from everlasting to everlasting, who knew no sin, yet was made sin for us. Yeah. He came down, condescended infinitely to take on human flesh so that he might live a sinless, perfect life on our behalf, to gain the favor of the Father, to meet the requirements of his law, so that he can be the propitiation for our sins. Really, I'm not sure how many of us remember such an unfathomable love of God for us, who were sinners, wretched, unworthy creatures, enemies of the cross. You know, it is this great love that fashioned salvation's plan, so that we may be reconciled to him. So, well, we've just seen the sevenfold wonders of God's love, and Pastor read from Romans 8:38 to 39 earlier. So even as we end this evening, feeling tired and weary sometimes, struggling with life's trials and tribulations and challenges, let us not forget that God's love is very, very sure and steadfast. Or in Singaporean speak, you know, we don't need to double confirm. It's guarantee plus chop, right? That God's love is very, very sure. Why is this so? Because he made this oath with his people by himself, kept it by himself, and our Lord Jesus is the steadfast anchor of our souls. So what shall our response be as we know of such great love that the Lord has given to us? So we who are reconciled to God are now ambassadors of Christ, and we are given the ministry of reconciliation. So let us go and tell others of his love and bring them in. The evil one may continue to buffet us, continue to hit at us with all sorts of subtle schemes and lies. Let us stick to the firm old paths that many have trodden, for these are the same paths that will surely lead us home to life eternal. And for many of us who have journeyed with Christ for many years, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together to continue to encourage and edify one another. And this is all the more important that we return to church for worship, we gather together in fellowship, that we may continue to employ the means of grace that God has given to us in prayer, in reading of the word, in continual fellowship with his saints. So as I close, I hope as we behold God's love, we may echo this last stanza in the hymn that we sung earlier. May we similarly be lost in wonder, love, and praise as we consider this whole theme of God's love for us. Okay, let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee once again for reminding us of thy great love, the love that is so great that thou would send thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to live and to die for us, even to pave a way for us to be called thy sons and thy daughters, with that glorious eternal hope that we shall be with thee forever. Encourage us, strengthen us, and uplift our spirits, dear Lord, even as many of us may be weary from the day's work. And lead us now even into this hour of prayer, and help us to trust in thy gracious provision and answers to our prayers in accordance to thy will and thy time. For we pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.